destination. This is the Chat in the Garden with your host, Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports.
Day in January 2024, where we are celebrating a decade. Can you believe it? A decade of chatting in the garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. What a feat, I tell you. And in the garden, we've been growing a lot of things. And one of those things we've been growing is getting known. Getting known. And we do that with the podcast. We do that with the magazine. With the magazine. And I'll just give you a sneak peek. I'm having a conversation with a TED Talk organizer on Friday. So we'll see what happens with that. But speaking of the magazine, the seventh issue is in production. I mean, it really is in production. We got a cover, okay? And so waiting to see the contributors' pages to come to me any day now. The goal is to be live by March 1st. And it does take some time. That's one reason why I have a cutoff for the number of people that contribute. And to be honest, there's some folks who say they want to contribute. However, they have to move to the next one because they're not meeting the deadline. Because we want to make, you know, like March 1st, I can't wait for folks. So there's two calls of action I have. First is go ahead and make your purchase for the pre-sale. Because number one, I don't carry inventory here. So in order to get that special price, you need to go ahead and make your purchase today. And so you can go make that purchase today by going to our virtual store. Yes, we have a store. It's called seedsofempowermentstore.com to make your purchase today. And if you are interested in being in the eighth issue, I am putting people on now. Very shortly, I will start the waiting list. Because as you can see, like I just said, we only can take a certain number of folks because it takes time to get everybody to get all the material in. And I don't want to hold up the production because we get too many people. So we'll tell you this, though. The cover has been sold. The cover has been sold for the eighth issue. And I got maybe three more spots left. I'm going to close out. So get on board. Get on board. So go and email me at MoniqueAJSmith@SeasonEmpowerment.info. I got a tidbit for you, though. Just this morning, I have two men who have asked me, can it be in the magazine? Now, yes, I've had men in the magazine, but it's still a stipulation that they must have some type of affiliation with women, either coach women, like Rob Knox. Now, that boy's bad. When I tell you he is a fighter with that pen, and he had already been fighting for women and covering women, covered the WNBA, he covered, of course he worked on the college campus, but he reached out to the other side, on the pro side, and was covering it, and he covered the disparities and the discrimination and coverage. So he spoke truth to power. So I didn't have any problems about giving him a slot. But here's my point. If I got men coming and try to be in this, y'all better get on board here. I'm serious. If they see the value in this and how they can, yeah. It's not them. They see value in it. I hope you see value in it. Come on board. I'm going to try to hold my bay or keep my standards high that you must be covering women, doing something for women. Your article must be geared to what you do, your expertise, to elevate women. So that's my pitch to you. If they see value in it, you better get on board. In the 7th magazine, I'm real excited about they brought on a media partner. After she finished the process, she wanted to stay connected with the Garden in some manner. And I said, well, you have a product, and let me continue to promote the product. And that product is the NIL Spot Podcast. It's a place for students, parents, and coaches to understand the concept of name, image, and likeness in the high school and college sports world. The host is Dr. Jam. She launched this podcast to show how to highlight the need for athletes to build their brands based on their talent and personality. Each month, she will discuss a new topic, aspects of NIL that caters to the lives and sacrifices of student-athletes across all sports. And so tune in to wherever you listen to podcasts. It's called the NIL Spot Podcast. Interesting enough, we had a mastermind this past Sunday. When I tell you it was fire. I did a survey within the Advanced Academy, and what they like the most. They like a lot of stuff, to be honest. It's kind of equal, but I think we found our groove here, because even though we lasted to almost 2 hours, it's every third Sunday of the month at 9 o'clock, and I believe we went to 9 p.m. and we could have went on some more, but we had a guest expert, Taja Muhammad. She is the author of the book, The Winning, I want to get the exact title. But she's a mindset coach. I'll get the title in a second. Mindset coach. And y'all, now, I've talked to her, had dinner with her several times. She does bring the energy, but I didn't know she brought the energy and the fire. Man, we had people quoting all in the comments. I mean, if you were trying to, you know, have something light before you go to sleep, that wasn't it, because we were on fire. It was great. And so Dr. Jam was also in it. The name of the book is How to Start Your Journey to Win, Shift Your Mindset, Elevate Your Life. People, and it's on Amazon, even though she didn't ask for or pay for this commercial, I'm giving it to her because she gave a lot to us other night. And so Dr. Jam was also there as a media partner, and she was mentioning about, again, how to brand and how to assist, because beyond having a guest expert, we do share our wins, and then we share our concerns. And one of our Advanced Academy members is an academic team coach. I probably don't have that right. And she was talking about challenges of budgets and whatnot, because it's not a full-fledged full-fledged team, athletic. And then I suggested, you know, maybe being a student affairs gets money. But the child is winning. So stay tuned for that too. Oh, Dr. And she's and also in the Seventh Magazine. I'm giving you all kinds of good stuff to tell you what's in the Seventh Magazine, so you better go get that. But Dr. Jam, because she's an NIL expert, was able to give her some great insight on how to make her students ambassadors with NIL too. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, the whole point of it is NIL was to make an even playing field for the student athletes to be able to benefit from their intellectual property or their skill sets like a regular student could. So it's interesting that we don't even think about our regular students as being able to be ambassadors for things. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole point of this. Because, you know, we had people, when I was in college, when I was on a college campus, it was nothing to see a representative of our school working for Dominion Power. And guess what? Dominion Power would put that out there that we give students opportunities. Do you see how that works? It's like a connection. I mean, you really don't have a choice when it comes to electricity. You know, if you live someplace, you got to go ahead and pay for whoever it is. However, it makes their brand seem that we really are connected to the community. So although you give us money for electricity, we give money back by having internships and being in the community. So I'm just saying, just to put that bug into your ear, plant that seed of NIL and how it is not where the kid just sits and waits for a brand to pop into their lap. Everyone is a brand. And that's why when we do the magazine, I offer expert marketing sessions to help you see that you have something to offer the marketplace. You just have to talk how to package it to be able to get those pings from your PayPal. Look, I told you I've been doing this thing for a decade, and I finally found the answer. Just take me for example. I'm a former SID. That was my first job out of college. And what do? We promote our student athletes for accolades. So you fast forward to 30 years, what do? I promote you on the podcast, inside the group, on the magazine. There's some people done it. I got to stop doing it. There's some people who are not even in my programs, right? Now, if you've been in a past program, one of a past magazine, I will, you know, try to slide you some opportunities. But the whole point is I got to know something about you. So it's not really about the money. It's about me being able to know what your expertise is. But not just me. If you in the magazine, if you position yourself as an expert in an area, people are going to call you and say, how about this? I'm thinking of this. Would this work? This is what I'm talking about. Be so busy that we cannot reflect upon your contributions. And how did you contribute? What were the steps that you took to create that program to address a problem that you saw? That becomes your intellectual property. The steps you took becomes a framework that can be explained. So it can be duplicated. But not duplicated like you. See, that's the thing. If some people just say, well, I don't want nobody stealing my idea. If the idea goes to a different institution, it's going to have a different kind of spill to it. So just think about it. And if you're really kind of going like, I don't really understand how that works for me, just email me or inbox me. I'd be glad to explain it to you. In the meantime, get some ideas about how to help your student athletes by listening to the NIL Spot podcast. And the NIL kind of sparked this organization. It's called the SACA. It's a membership platform that stands for Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association. Join a community of sport industry professionals. For more information, go to thesacca, thsaca.com. thsaca.com. And full disclosure, I am on the board of the SACA, but the SACA did pay for a commercial here on the podcast. Alva Amaker is an educational risk management consultant. And if I could pin, y'all think I'm busy. I got on a board meeting the other day. I'm like, oh, so glad you could grace us, you know, grace us with your presence since you're traveling so much. I said, ha ha, real funny. It's a Zoom call, so it didn't make a difference where it was. But I was just as busy as I am. But it's really great you have someone who is out there gathering knowledge. And civility is something that we need to embrace. So we're working on a webinar to get that out there. And I said that because I just finished, I mean, right before the show, I just emailed someone about they have a message. But only get the message when she's spiritually ready. And so I'm going to say this. We can't lose people in this business because people are not civil in their celebration of sports. And this young lady stepped down from being the AD because she was being stalked. That was quite disturbing to me, apparently disturbing to her. But, you know, she told me that months and months ago. But, you know, when it's like, oh, my goodness, what would Nat DeGrasse tell me? There's something about trauma that happens. It's like transferable when you see somebody else had it and then it comes upon you. I don't know the term, but it's real. Because when I hear another case of harassment or something happening from sports, it's just disturbing. But then it comes back like any other case I heard. So, and of course, we're talking about higher ed as well. You know, I have been harassed by parents about students in my class. I'm like, you better try again, Sam. That ain't going to happen here, you know. But that was on a phone call or email. But I can't imagine them standing at the door of the classroom while I'm trying to teach and heckling me. That probably wouldn't, I just can't imagine. But that's how it is. People doing their craft, the God-given gift. And you can't do it because you got a parent that's overly invested and don't know how to control their emotions. And that's how they think they're showing their love for their kid by acting a fool. So we got to do something. We got to do something to protect ourselves, to try to put some things in place. I know we've been talking about this since the pandemic, but it keeps getting freaking worse. You know, doing some type of grading, you know, and from the standpoint of this, that, yes, people are people and they're going to do what they're going to do, but it is the facility, the administrators who have to put a stop to it. And so, you know, is it safe for me to go to this place? Are these parents going to have access to me? And it's about policy. You know, when we see at the blade, we put a policy that our first two rows in basketball behind the team could only be the people from that opposing team. I had a situation on softball championships. People from the other side came on the other side and was hackling the, I surely did not have enough security because I didn't think I needed security like that for a softball game. You best believe I never hosted anything else for security. But I tell you what else we put in place. We put in place that if anything like that should happen, it was $1,200. $1,200 to the administration for non-institutional control. So things such as that, we're going to highlight who does it well and who does it poorly. So this is just a piece of that. But if you really want her to see how you're doing your business at your place and maybe be on that good list, I would suggest that you get on board with Village Safety Center and check out her assessments that are free. Assessments are free. She has one for college and one for high school. And you know what would be interesting? Since we have a professional, professional sports professional, you know, I want her to start adding professional sports, you know, to that, you know, facilities. So go to VIGILANCESTC.com, Vigilance, VIGILANCESTC.com, to get your free assessment to see how you're doing in that area. All right. And, Dr. Tawana Smith, she on a roll. She is on the speaking circuit, all right? So proud to see her landing at these institutions with her expertise. And it was interesting because when she first joined me, she was having some pushback because back then NIL wasn't in place. And the thought was, oh, she's just trying to come to campus to get clients. And I was like, no, she has expertise to let you know that there's a curse. And it's called getting money and losing money and not know how to navigate that. At the time, we're talking about professional athletes. But now our college kids are getting money. And tax season is here, people. And I'm just going to just say this one thing, and you see what I mean. So let's just say your student-athletes are didn't take any money, didn't get no cash out, and that's usually what they try to do, give you product. Case in point, if you watch the TV show All-American, the local gym didn't have any money to give Spencer to be the face of the gym. He gave him a free membership. Guess what, y'all? And that membership equals up to $600 for the year. Is that taxable? Yes. So if he's not getting any cash, how does he pay his taxes on it? That's why you need to have a team of people who understand that. I don't even have the answer for that. I don't have the answer. I just know it is a thing. So that's why, and here's the thing. Because I read this book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Ruin the Curse by Tawana Smith, my eyes and ears go straight to that and say, that's an issue. Somebody need to try to educate, protect the student athlete in that area. So the book is on Amazon, three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Get in the know so you know how to assist your student athletes, especially if they come to you for advice. Okay? And Seawall Foundation is another entity that wants to help protect our student athletes. She is a media personality that does all this great work with professional sports in the DMV. I have learned so much about the Washington Commander coaching staff, players. I didn't know these people's names before, because I follow her, I get it. And you know what? She was recognized. Someone said she gives a great commentary. She's kind of spread up to Baltimore now, which is great because they're still playing, they're still in it. And so I'm glad that we're media partners and I can promote her, but also glad that she has sought out to help our student athletes in the area of interviewing. So apparently she's seen some areas that need some help. And so she's branching out to prepare our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, go to info@cwallfoundation.org. Again, info@cwallfoundation.org to see how you can use these services with your student athletes. I will start back up with Meet the Contributors. We're going to start meeting the contributors to the 7th magazine. To be very honest with you, I am teaching 2 classes, and I have to read the textbook before I create my lectures. But one of the classes I teach at John C. Smith is I just put videos up. And so I need to get some videos up. Yeah, I need to get some videos up, and I need to knock those out. When I get a good dent in that, then I'll come back and see you on Facebook Live inside of Chatna Garden. But until then, we will have these wonderful podcasts. And today, I'm excited about talking. Oh, shoot. I meant to tell this child to tell me how to say this girl's name. I think I do know how to say it. But, if you can, give me some phonics just in case so I can not butcher this child's name, Tahara Belloc. So we'll see. Did I say it right? Tahira. All right? That's what she's telling me. Tahira Belloc, Director of Premium Services. Hey, cheers are here for the Las Vegas Raiders, even though they're not Super Bowl. They're hosting. Welcome to the Garden.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me how to say your name, honey.
It's Tahira.
Tahira.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that's a T-E, Jama. T here. So, yeah, I meant to say that. I hope you don't get insulted about me butchering, but
I'm glad
that you. Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. So, I want everybody else to know about your extensive career background in professional sports. So let's start with college to now.
Okay, so initially when I went to college, straight out of high school, I attended Hampton University, and I was there for about 2.5 years, and life kind of happened at home, and I needed to take some time off of school. So I actually transferred back home to Orlando to UCF, and it was kind of a little bit of a culture shock for me going from HBCU to PWI. My professors didn't know my name. I didn't really feel like they cared about me as much. And I was working and making money. So I decided to take some time off of school. And before I knew it, 10 years had passed. And then I kind of like looked up one day and felt like I've always been a person who didn't like leaving things unfinished. And so there was always this thing looming over me that I didn't graduate. And so I looked into sports programs because I knew I always wanted to work in sports. When I was at Hampton, I majored in psychology because at the time I wanted to do sports psychology. So when I looked into some programs, by this point, I'm well into adulthood with lots of bills, and so I needed to find something that was not only going to keep my attention and not have me thinking about, like, well, I could just be making money instead of going to class. And so I knew sports was going to be that thing. And I found a program through Full Sail University that was able to kind of mostly have online classes, but they had a lot of net industry connections. And that was really what I wanted to do. Was I knew that in sports, it's not really about what you know, but who you know. And I knew that going to Full Sail and having the opportunities that they had to connect me with people like at the Orlando Sports Commission and some of the teams there, that was going to be the best look for me. So I did that. I had all these credits from Hampton, so I was probably only at Full Sail for about a year and a half. Graduated, top of my class. Funny thing is, I was actually voted most likely to succeed, basically. And I kind of took off with just working in the industry. So I started interning and volunteering, really just volunteering, at Orlando City soccer games during their inaugural season. So that was the first time they had joined the MLS, and I was doing media credentialing. So people would, you know, media people would come to check in, and they'd give me their name, and I would check them in. And that was kind of one of the easiest jobs. However, it was three or four people checking them in, and we had three or four different sheets. So something just told me, I'm sure I can make this a little bit more efficient. So I spent one of the games just typing all, like, 600 names into a live Google Doc so that we could check people in live, and that's what I turned in to my supervisor. And, of course, that was very helpful to them, and so they realized quickly I could do more than volunteering. And so I started basically working part-time for them until they were trying to find me a full-time position. And that just really didn't pan out the way that I would hope it did. It just – nothing really was giving. And I was a little impatient, to be honest. So long story short, a friend of mine from high school was an attorney in Atlanta, and she needed a legal assistant. And I thought, well, this is a good way to get me to a bigger sports market with a job. So I moved to Atlanta, and I promised her I'd work for her for 1 year if she let me, you know, go volunteer and figure out how I can get into the sports industry. You know, so that might mean leaving work early to go work a game. She agreed, and so I reached out to my contacts at Orlando City to introduce me to people at Atlanta United. I did the same thing there, and I did that with them until I got a full-time job with the Atlanta Hawks NBA team in the inside sales program, which is basically a year contracted program to sell season tickets. And I did that for about 8 or 9 months, and when I realized that I had gotten a taste of what it was like to work in sports and to finally have kind of fulfilled a lifelong dream, I didn't want to give it up. So when it didn't look like I was going to get promoted internally, I started reaching out to recruiters. I landed a job at the San Francisco 49ers. So I moved to the Bay Area, not knowing a single person, started working at the Niners, and then I kind of just showed up and did my thing, meaning I started, you know, reaching out to my boss and saying, hey, I've got these ideas of ways that we can kind of generate some more revenue, right? Like, we need to do some prospecting events. This is going to get us more leads. But also, I kind of need to focus on something other than the monotony of making 100 calls a day trying to sell people's tickets. So I created a couple of prospecting events. One of them ended up earning an NFL best practice, which that's really what the NFL considers something that was very successful for a team. And then they say, oh, everybody should do this because this is a best practice. And so it's kind of rare for you to have a best practice without even, like, being a leader. I was just an account executive, and I'd earned my first NFL best practice with some of the prospecting events I'd come up with and earned the team about $500,000 that they hadn't expected to earn in revenue from these events. So that naturally got the attention of the president. And he at the time was working with some other huge prominent names in sports to launch an agency called Elevate Sports Ventures. And their first project was the XFL installment in 2020. And so they asked me if I wanted to interview for that, and I crushed it. So I went from account executive with no management experience to director of ticket sales and service to launch a brand new team in a brand new league in Seattle, where I knew, again, nobody. But because you know, I was kind of living a dream. I always wanted to get to leadership. I mean, in sports, a lot of times the money comes from the higher up you go, but specifically on that revenue generating side. So I started working in Seattle and learning all the ropes about what it means to be a director, and quickly with a great team. We were the highest grossing team in the XFL at that point until we folded due to COVID. And so I decided I had to find a job kind of quickly, because I'd only been a director for about 8 or 9 months, and I didn't want to get stale when the market was going to open up and I was going to be competing with so many people with many more years experience. So I went to Nashville and I launched Nashville Super Speedway under the NASCAR umbrella, which was very interesting. I never really knew anything about racing other than I grew up in Orlando and Daytona Speedway was 45 miles up the road. And so I started working for the first black track president. I quickly became the first black woman running any revenue generating departments for NASCAR. And just from all everything I learned at Hampton and just naturally my culture, I made a phone call to NASCAR's diversity and inclusion department, and they told me that one of their goals was more diversity. They wanted more black drivers, more black fans, and more black employees. So that's all they needed to tell me. I decided to team up and partner with some of the biggest black-owned businesses in Nashville. So Slim and Husky's, the only black-owned pizza franchise. They're graduates, alumni of TSU, Tennessee State. So I partnered with Tennessee State alumni, the National Museum of African American Music, and Uncle Nara's Whiskey, also black-owned. And we basically invited 300 TSU alumni out to the races with a red carpet experience. Uncle Nara's provided the libations. Slim and Husky's provided the food. The museum gave free tickets so that they could go to the grand opening. And this all took place on Juneteenth, which was race weekend, and coincidentally TSU's Founders Day. And it was a huge success that earned Nashville Super Speedway the Drive for Diversity Award, one of the most coveted awards at NASCAR. But the reality was the people above me didn't have a sales background, and there was still so much I didn't know. So I had to leave in order to continue to grow in my career and stay relevant. So I made the transition to the WNBA in Dallas. I was there for about a year and a half, very successful seasons. But the reality was, as much as I love women's sports, the pay wasn't the best. I had to take a huge pay cut to go there. And I wanted to make sure that I could really have an impact on women's sports. And in order to do that, I needed to have a little bit more experience so that I could come back in a much higher position where my voice really, truly mattered. And so when the opportunity came to join the Las Vegas Raiders, I took that. And here I am.
Wow. So you definitely are an award-winning sports professional, professional sports professional. Well, now, here's the funny thing. I remember reaching out to you because my husband's a 49er fan. And so that's how I remember our first connection. But I met you in person last year at the Sports Power Brunch put on by LaToya Story. And you remembered me, and I was like, and then you told me, I'm about to take a new job. I was so excited for you. You have no fear. Where does that come from?
You know, I think I always say that it comes from being a first-generation American. So my parents moved here from their respective countries in the Caribbean. My mom is from Jamaica, and my dad is from Dominica. And they both moved to Boston to go to college, and that's where they met. And I always just saw my mom being a businesswoman. I actually, when I found out at the Raiders that I was going to have my own office, I called her and I remember telling her my whole life I wanted to be a businesswoman that had her own office, that had people who reported to her that I could send to pick up my kid from school. and so I just always saw very strong women in my family always finding a way to make it happen and do the things they said they were going to do. And it kind of became one of those things where in some ways I felt like I might have been disappointing if I didn't succeed. So that fear just came from going after my dream. So about at 14, I said I wanted to be the first Black female president of an NFL franchise, and I now work for her. I'm not the first, but I work for her. So the closer I got to achieving those dreams each time, specifically in San Francisco, when I realized that I was really contributing to an organization and I really had value and other people saw that value, and like specifically white men were saying, hey, calling me into the room and saying my name in rooms I wasn't in, I started to get a taste of that. And then I just decided I wasn't going to let anything stop me. And I felt like if it wasn't for me, it wouldn't be. And this must be what it is. So God's got me, and I'm just going to take the leap, and I'm going to make it happen.
Amen, sister. So are you going to the brunch this year?
I will be at the brunch. They are honoring Sandra Douglas Morgan, my president. And so we will be there to support her for sure.
Well, I did take a picture with her last year. I did notice that I reached out on LinkedIn, but we're not connected. Would love to have her on the podcast eventually. So hopefully you can assist with that.
And I will definitely try.
Thank you. but yeah, I did just add you. You probably noticed it. We are having a garden connecting event after the Sports Power Brunch. You know, that brunch lingers and lingers and lingers to the dinner time. After you've been there for lunch, you're all still talking in the hallways and the street and everything. So I do have some people who are attending some other events during the Super Bowl week that are not coming to the brunch. So I figured we have a connecting event. So I definitely inviting you. I just booked it at the Money Live Pizza.
Okay.
A bar, yeah, for 7 p.m. on February the 7th because I'm not going to move too far from where we are. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah, because I would have said, can we come? Can you host us over there at the Raiders? But I was like, I don't know. We might lose people if we move from the area.
Well, we actually will not be in our offices. We have been officially kicked out of our offices as of February 4th because whoever the AFC team is will be practicing and using our facility. And so naturally, for the safety of their plays and the secrecy, we will not be in our offices.
Okay, what in the world did you just say? What?
So the AFC team, so either the Baltimore Ravens or the Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl people. Yeah. Okay,
yes.
I got you.
They will be taking over our offices. They will be practicing at our training facility. I'm not sure where the NFC team will be, but the AFC team will be in our offices. And so we have been asked by the NFL politely to work from home that week.
Oh, okay. That's news to me. I mean, you know, that's something to note. Interesting. Because, many people host many things. I just never known to be hosting, say, we want to take over your house. It's like an Airbnb. So just try to put on your calendar of things to do 7 p.m. on February the 7th. And it's part of the same property, the same resort casino area. So, and I just booked us for like 12 people. So I don't know if you heard what I said about the magazine, but it does seem that you're a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Of branding yourself. I don't know if you brand yourself as an award-winning professional sports programmer or something to that. But, and you did, I'm really glad you gave more detail about the things that you won. But that's how I'm going to promote this podcast. The NFL Best Practice Award. I mean, Best Practices Award for Prospecting. That is impressive.
Thank
Can
you.
Can I ask you how old you were when you did that?
Wow, so that was 2018. What was that? 4 years ago, 6 years ago? Wow.
Let's say your 40s, your 50s, your 30s, your
20s. I was in, like, my early 30s, for sure, yeah.
Okay, okay. That's impressive.
Thank you.
That's impressive. And so that's the kind of thing I'm saying for people in the magazine, to be in the magazine, because people, even, you know, people protective of it on the professional side, but I can see a college asking, how do you do that? And what you just shared about Nashville, man. And that to me, now you said that you didn't have folks you could learn from, but I'm pretty sure based on my 30 years of being in business, you probably had folks intimidated.
Oh,
so you were able to make that happen.
Humbly speaking, I that is absolutely the truth.
I know.
That. Yeah, they, you know, there was, I mean, I like to call a spade, there were a lot of people within the NASCAR itself, within a NASCAR organization who were extremely supportive of me, especially from the DE&I side. I mean, they started doing HBCU events, but however, the people that I worked for directly was the track that I worked for. There was a lot of intimidation. You know, especially microaggressions. Like when I came in first, we sold out the first Cup Series in 40 years in Middle Tennessee in less than 90 days. And I would get little comments like, oh, we were so worried about how this was going to turn out because, you know, you don't have a racing background. And, you know, they pushed and fought every single way of all the things that I tried to do. And, of course, when they end up getting this award, it was like, oh, how wonderful. You know, well, they took all the credit for it. But either way, that was kind of when I also knew that, I'll say this, that stint taught me so much about playing the game in corporate America.
Mm.
And it was a very unhealthy situation for me. I'd lost about 20 pounds. I was always very stressed out. A therapist was on speed dial. And then... And then I started to realize, like, there's got to be a lesson in this. And so even though it's not the funnest time for me, I have to figure out what I'm supposed to learn in this period of my life. And it taught me so much. And literally every job after that, when I see something, I'm like, oh, I've seen this before. I know that instead of handling it this way, I need to now do this. And so although it wasn't the funnest situation for me, it was definitely successful. It taught me a lot, and I actually don't regret it because I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today if I didn't take that role.
Girl, you helped somebody with that. If anything, the therapist on speed dial. There's no shame in the game. Girl, you know what I did? I had my therapist meeting. I drove because I want to have privacy. From the house, because I do mine on a teller. Girl, I was sitting at the beach. Because you went to Hampton University. I went to Buckley sitting in my car talking to my therapist. That ain't your life, child.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, again, I'm listening about strategies to be healthy, and I'm looking at the water at the same time. So, but the key is though, I need to walk the beach. I need to do some activity. But that's key. That was really very good. So you see what I mean about if you did it once, you can do it again. Just like you said, you've seen it before, and you can be able to. People will pay you to tell them how to do what you just said you did. I'm just saying.
That's definitely on the list.
But I do have a couple of questions. Let's see. One is from Ms. Eastley. She asked this a question from a previous guest, but I didn't get to it. I think I did, but I didn't give her credit. She says, what advice do you have for young professional women looking to break into the sports industry?
Oh, wow. I think my biggest advice is really your network. Build your network. And the reason I say that is because you can have a bad experience in one location and then know two or three people who are going to say great things about you, and that's what's going to matter. Your network is your network. And I know that sometimes that can be very cliche, but most of the jobs that I have been able to secure have come from someone saying my name in a room I wasn't in. So a lot of times, specifically post George Floyd, people would reach out to VPs and C-suites and say, hey, we're looking for diverse candidates. Do you know someone? And 9 times out of 10, if they had reached out to someone I'd worked for, they were going to say my name. Because quite frankly, as a Black woman, I'm a double minority. So I always say your network, your network, your network. It can be intimidating to go in a room and speak to people you don't know. And I don't know how much you saw me at Sports Power Brunch, but I worked that room.
Oh, no, you
worked,
me, worked baby. You worked
that room.
Yeah, you worked.
So much so that now I'm on this podcast with you. I connected with Melissa Potter, who is executive director at Content for Change at Paramount, and she's invited me to an event coming up Super Bowl weekend. It's network, network, network. You just never know who you're going to run into. You never know who they know. And most importantly, these days, everyone in the industry knows that it's about who you know and not what you know. And that's a lot for a lot of industries. And so that's going to be my biggest advice is take the leap. And especially if you're shy, and introduce yourself to someone and start a conversation. And then the other really quick piece I have, when you're in the interviewing process, I always tell people to use LinkedIn and sometimes even use Facebook. The reason I say that is I always do research on the person who's interviewing me. I always try to find something that I can use to relate to them. So that way I become a person, somebody that they're relating to rather than rather than a candidate. So if I go on their LinkedIn and, for example, they said it says that they went to Boston College, I'm going to immediately say that my mom went to Boston College. So those are the two biggest pieces of advice I have.
Well, I think that is great. I'm going to quickly go to a commercial break right now, and when we return, we're just going to wrap up. Are you ready to take your name, image, and likeness to a new level? You know, your brand. Then look no further than the Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association, the SACA. Whether you're a collegiate or professional athlete, coach, or athletic director, you'll want to join our vibrant community of sports industry professionals and unlock a world of excitement, possibilities, and opportunities. For more information, visit our website at www.thesaca.com. That's THESACA.com. And get your branding game on with the SACA.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
I just want to say thank you for taking the time. I know it's mighty early out there, and I do look forward to seeing you work the room in a couple of weeks.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate this. And it is early, but I really enjoy doing these sorts of things. Anything that helps me get my name out there, and it can help anybody who has any questions. So I definitely appreciate the opportunity.
So if you don't mind, would you share what years you were at Hampton?
2002 to 2004.
Well, you are surrounded with Hamptonians today. Our engineer, John Lee Harrison, is also a Hampton grad. What class were you?
Ogre 5, Ogre 12.
All right. I think John was going to tell me which one was she. I think she came out in the 90s, but I came out in 90. And so my class is Dynasty. It can only be just one. I just want to make sure y'all know that. But thank you to you. Thank you to Jama Harrison. She says she's Quintessence 3. She's Quintessence
okay.
3. And so, Donna, thank you. And thank you for claiming us, because we sure going to claim you, sister girl. You hear me?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, yes. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.